When Annette Philip first became a faculty member at Berklee College of Music, she was given what she calls a blank canvas, the space to create something that would celebrate Indian musical traditions and be rooted right here in Massachusetts. She created the Berklee Indian Ensemble, a university class, and then a multinational musical group that has now released its first album. The album is called Shuruat, which means beginnings. I spoke earlier with Annette Philip, the founder-director of the Berklee Indian Ensemble at the Berklee College of Music. I started by asking Annette how it felt to release the album after more than a decade building and developing the ensemble.
It's really surreal. When I got this blank canvas from Berklee in my first year as a young faculty member in 2010, I could never have imagined this is where we would end up. And from a single idea having a performing collective to finally having an album and touring and doing workshops around the world and providing scholarships, it's really been a wild and very colorful adventure.
Tell us about the Berklee Indian Ensemble. For those who don't know, what is it and what are your goals?
The Berklee Indian Ensemble was founded in 2011. My idea was to create a space for musicians from all over the world to come together and explore Indian music in all its forms, but also be welcomed to bring their own cultural influences and musical backgrounds into the music that we co-created. Mm-hmm. It really is a family. Mm-hmm. And we've had musicians from 52 countries be part of this movement since 2011.
Terrific. Hey, I want to dive right in with some of the music.
Sure.
They can listen to us, but let's listen to the music. Listen to one. And I should say, if you can, help me out with some of the pronunciations if I don't get it right, okay?
Sure.
Give me an attaboy if I do get it, because okay. This is a little tricky. The song that we're going to listen to is Unnai Kannada Naan.
Very close. Unnai Kannada Naan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's hear some of that.
ಅಭಿನವನೀತ ಅಭಿನಯ ರಾಜ ಗೋಕುಲ ಬಾಲ ಕೋಟಿ ಪ್ರಕಾಶ ನಿರಗ ನರಗ ಶ್ರೀ ರಕ್ಷ ಕಮಾಲ ಎತ್ತನೆ ಮುರೇನಾನಿ.
So you can hear this amazing feature of Indian music, this rhythmic solfège. What does it allow you to do having this language that you can share between drummers and dancers?
So in India, we have these ancient musical traditions, and the art forms all are interrelated and synergistic. And so konnakol is the recitation of rhythmic solfège, just like in Western music you have melodic solfège, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. We have rhythmic solfège where every stroke on a drum correlates to a sound that is recited, which also then has a translation for a dancer's footwork. And it allows you to learn rhythms very quickly. It's very much subdivision based, so it allows you to really embrace and feel in your body odd meters very, very simply. And it's a great brain game and very, very evocative.
Sounds somewhat complex.
It is complex.
Let's listen to another song from the album.
Sundari Penne. Sinna chirippu unnai paritha mannu novanum evano konni adutha andha thiradan minnal adanin magano
Okay, so this one has kind of a grunge feeling to it. How do you do that, and how do you make a song from a Tamil movie fit with a genre like grunge?
Well, I think the question is, why not? So right from the start, we wanted to make sure that the music that we are exploring represents the people who are making it. Not just that they're coming in to explore Indian music, but they really are themselves within this environment. And so the year that we recorded this, we had a lot of Israeli musicians in the team, and three of them were in a band together, which was a prog rock band. And so as this arrangement came about, there was just this natural tendency to, swoosh into that genre. And we tried to never make something make an artistic decision just based on a whim. Mm-hmm. It has to really feel like it's an integral part of that song, and it's a natural progression just because of, you know, our personal musical palette.
How do you make space in the classroom, in the studio, for people to bring all kinds of cultural backgrounds to an Indian musical tradition?
So the way that we look at music making and collaboration is that it has to go beyond the piece of music that you're working on. We actually spend a lot of time outside the rehearsals, eating each other's food and learning about each other's culture and watching movies from different parts of the world, watching documentaries, having a lot of debate and discussion and arguments even about things political, sociological, religious, etc. And so the collaboration is deep. It is not just a musical collaboration. It is really different personalities coming together, and you have to make space for that. And when we look at any song, the first thing we look at is, what is the story? What was the original intent of the composer, whether it's an original coming from a member of the Berklee Indian Ensemble or a cover that we're reinterpreting? And who are we as storytellers? And what is the cultural significance for each of us? And that allows people to suddenly think of, oh, this reminds me of this place in Australia where I grew up, and I really want to have this new instrument. That, have you tried this? And, you know, when you're open to that, anything can happen.
Let's listen to Lady L. This is a song that pays homage to the Indo-jazz fusion group Shakti. So, Annette Philip, what inspires you about Shakti that you try to bring to your own work?
Well, the playfulness and mischief that you can hear in a lot of their compositions, and at the same time, the deep musicality and deep respect that you can see between the members, both of Shakti and then the group that grew out of it, Remember Shakti. We had the glorious opportunity to play with Ustad Zakir Hussain, who, you know, was on the original recording. It was nerve-wracking for us, but also really inspiring. Similarly with Shankar Mahadevan and John McLaughlin, who were all part of these groups. I think just seeing idols be themselves and be so playful is inspiring to us. And we try to bring that mischief into our playing as well. Mm-hmm.
The other night, in preparation for having you come in today, I downloaded the album from Apple Music and listened to the entire album. It's quite vibrant, and it transported me someplace else. I've never been to India. I don't know if I will ever get there. But I just had that feeling, just closing my eyes and listening, that it transported me there. And I appreciated that, because I don't know when I'm going to get a vacation.
Well, that makes us very happy. And I think that's the goal of all art, to take you somewhere.
Is there something special about Boston that allows you to do something like this?
Well, Boston is the education capital in many ways. There's so many institutions. And I find that people here are curious and inquisitive and adventurous in their, you know, artistic pursuits. And Berklee itself, I remember the first day I came here as a student, way, way back in 2006, I called my parents and said, this is like an alternate dimension. Like, it's some sort of new planet where there are, you know, 6,000 musicians here. Oh my God. So the fact that, you know, Berklee is headquartered in Boston, but really is a global school and has a global outlook, is such a blessing. And we have over 400 ensembles at the college, of which one is the Berklee Indian Ensemble. And we've been so supported and encouraged to keep dreaming and be very brave and rogue and, you know, experimental in our work.
Another piece on this album, Pinna, celebrates an unusual figure in Indian literature. Let's listen.
Jaise ki sadaf mein shafaf ghar bina takdeer badalne mein.
So Annette, the lyrics are from a poem. Tell us about the poet. What about her inspires you about her?
The poem and the song are called Pinha, which is an Urdu word for hidden within. And the poet is from Lucknow, India. And she, the name of the poet is Fatima Vasia Jaisi. And she was always interested in writing and literature from a young age. But, you know, beyond regular schooling, she hadn't, you know, put much effort into it. And after marriage, she was encouraged to do a master's. And after she had children, she actually did a PhD and then went on to write 11 books. And many people in her life really saw that hidden talent within her and encouraged her. And in those days, it wasn't very common for women. I mean, this is the 1940s, 1950s, for women in India to really take up a career as an author full time. And she paved the way for many women in her region. And so that's very inspiring for us.
We just have to listen to one more from this album. This is a little bit called Sati.
Sati, Rati, Rati, Ra.
So, Annette, did you really record this separately during the pandemic?
Absolutely. Not a single person was in the same room at the same time.
Did that change? I mean, when the pandemic came along, having to be apart, was that so unique to music and what you do?
Well, to this group, yes. To, you know, other projects, maybe not. And I'm grateful for the maybe not aspect, because most of the people involved have their own home studio or are very, you know, used to doing studio recordings remotely or isolated. So that was good. But for us, it's always been about being together in a room. So this was interesting, and I'm really happy with how it turned out. It's pretty powerful, at least for us.
Sure. How do you find that sense of cohesion when you're not all in the same place?
We have a very clear idea of where the song is going, the arc, the emotional and musical arc of the song. And we really communicate and are not afraid to, you know, make mistakes and start over. So I think that's been a lot of the work here.
I know you put a lot of work into an equitable revenue sharing model for this record. Tell us about that.
Thank you for asking about this. In the music industry, there are lots of artists who, A, don't know what their rights are, and B, don't know how to stand up for those rights. And we were really decisive that this project must be fair and respectful to all the contributors, not just the performers, but also the producers, arrangers, engineers, etc. And so we've designed a system through Berklee to make sure that every person on the album, all 98 musicians and the additional crew, is able to share in the revenue for life. And we're really hoping that this becomes the norm in the industry as opposed to an exception.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody else tried it since you, or is this just still so new?
Well, it's not new in all respects, but I think for an educational institution where usually if a student participates in a recording, it's considered experiential learning. And for us, we felt that the intention when some of these songs was recorded was never to release it, but the intention changed. And if the intention has changed, then the modus of operation must also change. Even if it's hard, even if it's time consuming, it just has to be done. And we have to, as an educational institution, set an example, set a precedent. So the hope is that this has a ripple effect. And if anyone is interested, we are so excited to talk about it, but probably not here. But yeah.
What's next for you and the Berklee Indian Ensemble?
Well, we will submit this album, Shuruat, for the Grammys. In fact, I'm working on that. The deadline is the end of August. We also just got to know that we have booked a festival in India. It's one of the largest festivals in India, happening in November this year. And we're hoping to do a tour in India, plus a world tour, probably 23, 24. And the biggest dream of all, we would love to do a stadium show or a tour of stadium shows. Because why not?
That was Annette Philip, founding director of the Berklee Indian Ensemble. Annette, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go out on a little more from the album. This is five-piece band from the Berklee Indian Ensemble's new album, Shuruat. And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Chris Sidorek, Amanda Beeland, and Sydney Bowles, with Bart Tocci and Andrea Perdomo. Marquise Neal is our senior technical director. Titus Folladoon is our executive producer. I'm Steve Brown. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston. Bye-bye.